Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're on tape number 110 today, and it's regarding part 9 of how to have God's life living in you. If you're interested in having a copy of this tape or CD, we'll give you the address, the phone number, and our email at the end of the program. We also have three letters, but right now let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Lord, you came into the world a new thing. It was new that you, our Father, Emmanuel, God with us, came into the world in a man. And then, Lord, you completed everything for us so that we could be clothed upon with you and that we could be have you living in us. This was all these things were new. We ask, Lord, that you anoint the message today, take it over so that people are able to understand how to have you living in them and how to have themselves clothed with you. We must be clothed with Jesus. And Jesus, with his Father by the Spirit, must be living in and working in and through us. Lord, we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus, that the church may be strengthened and souls may be saved. In Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's, where's the first letter from?
Chicago, Illinois.
Okay, go ahead.
I am simply blessed to read your literature. I was referred to this website by Doug. Please send me 4 copies of your article on regeneration. I'm currently a college student that was saved in my freshman year, and I'm going to use your literature in my witnessing. I don't have much to say, but I just want to thank the Lord for showing himself to me and for saving me, and I thank him for teaching me the truth from his word and for using people like you to preach it. R. Witherspoon from Chicago, Illinois.
Right, where's the next letter from, please?
Niger State, Nigeria. Greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is to come and who is our brother in heaven, preparing a place for us to go. I hope all is well with you, your family, and your ministries. Pastor, I want to thank you for sending me your Messiah booklet, Earthquake and Mass Suicide, which I have received. Your Messiah booklet is now winning many people's souls here in Minna. I'm very happy and with what the Lord is doing in many parts of the world. Many people in our church were appreciating you for sending these books to me. Some now need more of your Messiah booklets because it is doing wonderful things in their lives, and the pastor and the leadership in our church are also very interested in it. Pastor, I don't know what to say, but only that God will reward your labor of love in Jesus' name. The Bible you sent to me is attracting many people. 2 people just newly gave their lives to Christ when I was preaching to them with this Alamo Bible.
Well, the Alamo Bible is simply a King James version of the Bible. We have our name on it so people can know where to order one free of charge. All right, then what?
Now their lives are growing, and they say a world of thanks to you and your ministries. And they now need their own Bible to study the Word of God. And they're looking forward to having their own Bible.
Amen. Then what?
The newsletters Earthquake and Mass Suicide have reached them. I've given them the New Testament Bible to be used till you send to them. I am one of the church staff, and I don't have money to buy a big Bible for them, so I promise them that very soon you will send one to them. Pastor, you will now count me in as a member in your ministry. Again, I want to use this opportunity to thank you more and more and request more copies of your Messiah booklet, because the 10 copies you sent to me I've distributed to people. Only one is with me now. And I need some of your message preaching tapes, CDs, and Christian music videotapes so that we may have many and also can hear your voice. I would like to attend the next conference meeting that will come up. Sir, it would be a very great thing in my life if you can make it possible for me to attend. Lastly, I'm looking forward to seeing all I have requested from you. May God Almighty, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, continue to bless you and your ministry. Sir, you are the father of all pastors, and I've seen and believe. Yours faithfully, Samuel from Niger State, Nigeria.
Well, the Lord is the Father of all of us. Amen. I know what he's saying. Where's the next letter from?
From Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Lamo, may Almighty God bless you and your literature you have been sending to us. Please, I have received requests and I have shared it to the entire church, in markets, hospitals, and workplaces. But Pastor, so many people are asking for literature, the one entitled Earthquake, so I will be grateful if you send us some more, and others, and the Messiah. So Pastor, kindly please help. So many people here are giving their lives to Jesus through your literature. Thank you, Evangelist Michael from Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord. You know, there's so many people that say that he's talking about the liturgy for church leaders. That should not be so that it's just church leaders. We that are informed from the Lord are the ones that should be running the governments of the world, because just in every way you can see that the people in government today are totally unfit to be running our lives. For instance, I was watching the news yesterday and saw how that FEMA had ordered 9,777 mobile homes or prefab homes to be built, and they overextended themselves, and they haven't, not one a family has been moved into these homes. I believe also that there's no such thing as a free lunch. Jesus gave his life freely, but there's something that we have to do. Some people say you don't have to do anything. Yes, you do. You have to come to Jesus. You have to give up your old life. You have to invite the Lord Jesus Christ into you. There's still things that you and I have to do in order to show the Lord that we want him living in us and through us, and for ourselves to be clothed upon with him, and to have him living in us and working in us through us. But I noticed that all these FEMA people and all the people from government, according to most people's thoughts, is run by George Bush. But I know from experience in the years that I've been in the ministry that the Pope in Rome is the one that tells all the presidents what to do. And I really am a United States citizen, and I really would like the United States to be a sovereign nation the way that it was originally formed, and that people that are wise in the Lord should be the ones that run it, not a bunch of people that are interested in destroying the nation. They've been trying to destroy our nation, and they're doing a real good job of it. Our enemies in World War II were the Germans and the Japanese. Now we've given everything that we have over to the Germans, the Japanese, and to the Chinese. Our people are broke now because of the Vatican and our deals that we've made with other countries. Now, we used to be the home of the free and the land of the brave. And the way that they should do this now is that every person, you know, we're all subject to having destruction come our way in the world, because the Lord allows the sun to fall upon the just and the unjust. Good things happen to the just people and even to the unjust, because God is a merciful God. And also catastrophes now and then happen to the just people and to the unjust. Well, they have 9,777 homes over there in Hope, Arkansas, and they also have 400 of them in Texarkana, Texas. So what I'm saying is they should allow people that have land, and if the land has got city water and sewer on it, they should allow the people to put these houses on those lands. And like, for instance, we have about a couple hundred acres, and we could, I know that out here in California where we're at now, they allow three houses per acre. So So if we had one 50-acre parcel, you could put three houses on each acre. That's 150 houses. Then we have another 100 acres, so that would be 300 houses there. So we could take 400 houses and put them on our land, or some organization like Red Cross or Armful of Help or Food for the Children could take them and put them on their land, our land, and charge everyone some rent. Well, when they get jobs and get on their feet, they would start paying for their own houses, so that the people in the government, the people in the United States, wouldn't have to have all these giveaway programs to where we're taxed, to where the people are taxed out of their houses and homes to take care of everyone that has a catastrophe. But the people that own the land could get a little piece of money every time they pay the rent or pay for their house, and the government would get a certain percentage back, and then the people would also have to would be allowed to keep a little bit of extra money to pay for their food and everything else. And that way, the people, the taxpayers in the United States of America, would have relief. Not only do the victims of this New Orleans wrath of God need finances, but the people in the United States need relief from having to pay for everybody's catastrophes. Now, if I was in New Orleans when this happened, my house was destroyed, and somebody said, okay, here's the house for you to live in, but you can live in there, but you have to get a job within a couple of 2 or 3 months. I mean, if you're an able-bodied person, go ahead and get yourself a job whenever you find one, and then start making payments on this house. And if you don't like the house, that's fine. Later, when you get on your feet, you can buy your own house. But in the meantime, the government wants to have some of this money back, actually the taxpayers. Amen?
Yeah.
And also, you'll be able to keep a certain amount for yourself, and then also the Red Cross, or Armful of Help, or Food for the Children, or whoever it is, it comes up with the land to put the house on. They have to get a little bit, too, because nobody gets a free lunch that way. And people should be glad to take care of the situation that way. But everyone is so perplexed. They just start blaming each other for not knowing what to do. They didn't react quick enough. They didn't do this quick enough. Then there's another building that they built that cost them $17 to $19 million, and it was overbuilt. And all this, these are, I've seen when I was in United States Navy, the waste. They waste more food than they eat. I was in prison for the gospel's sake. They throw more food away there than they use. There needs to be somebody that is a leader. People like Christian people that would lead the nation sensibly, because they are afraid of God, that God would punish them in a horrible way for such waste. The Lord states that a godly person, that the things that they catch in hunting, or that they kill and hunt, is precious unto them. Every morsel is precious unto the Lord. The leftovers that were gathered together after he had fed the 5,000 men plus women and children on top of that, and there were several baskets left over, and he said, save them. Amen? This country doesn't pay any attention to what the Lord says. We need people that are of the Lord, that will run, not false Christians like the religions, but real Christians. Well, anyway, this is not my opinion. This is a fact. You people out in the radio land are being taxed out of your houses and homes. And I'm not looking for a government job. But somebody in government should take me up on that and do what I'm saying that you need to do. Those FEMA houses, now they're talking, well, there's no one going to move into them, so let's just destroy them, let's demolish them. This is the thinking of devils. Amen?
Amen.
After paying possibly $1 billion for all these houses, or tens of millions of dollars, now let's just destroy them. That's the consensus or the warped mind of the people that are running this once great nation. Okay, wake up, you people out there, and force the people in government by your opinions or my straightforward common sense. You hear some of these people saying, nobody has any common sense. Well, I do, all right? And I know how to solve the national debt in about 5 minutes. But no, they don't want anybody that knows how to run anything properly. People are in a panic, they're in a quandary. And the Bible says that in the last days, the people in government would be mad. In other words, that means insane. And look at them. You know, it's just, I'm looking at them, and it's like looking at people that are truly have gone crazy because they didn't focus their minds on the Lord. Madness or insanity is caused by people that don't keep their minds focused on the Lord. All right, well, anyway, here we are now. We've read all these letters. Now part 9 of how to have God's life living in you. And when God's life is in you and you're clothed upon with God, then you have God, and you've got God's word in you, which is God, then you have common sense on how to run everything. That's why the government of God in the time of the Old Testament was all the people of the Bible. Moses, Joshua, they ran the government, and they were also the spiritual leaders. Whoever came up with that, there's supposed to be a separation between God and man, that could only be the devil. Now, listen up to how to have God's life living in you. All right, go ahead, let's start reading, please.
The Greek language is more explanatory than any other language on the face of this earth.
Yeah, if you don't believe that, pick up Amplified Greek Bible or start learning the Greek language, especially the Hellenic Greek language, and you'll see that they really split hairs when it comes to words. There's 10 different ways to say love and I love you in the Greek language, and there's it's just far more extensive than any other language in the world. Go ahead.
One of the evangelists I hear stated that there are at least 10 different ways and meanings of love. And there are several different meanings in the Greek language of the word new.
Now, the Bible states that love is the keeping of God's commandments. Amen?
Amen.
So, if you really want to love, they keep talking about agape and all this other thing. First of all, I don't like that word agape. It's so far, I don't know. There's something about it that makes me cringe. But it doesn't offend me when people say, when God says that love is the keeping of His commandments, and His commandments are easy to keep because He lives in me and I'm clothed upon with Him, with Jesus. And I have His word, which is God living in me, and if I keep His word, then I know I'm on my way to heaven. Right, then what?
We become new creatures in Christ Jesus, and all things are new.
Right. The Bible tells us of 8 different things that are new when Jesus came into the world as a baby. This little baby's name was Emmanuel, God with us. The Almighty God was born just like you and I were born into the world, with the exception that He had the Almighty God as His father. Mary became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Right from birth, He was born again of the Holy Spirit. We were not. When we come to our senses and realize that in order to have God living in us, we must be born again. We must have the Spirit, born again of the Spirit. We must have the Lord enter our bodies, just as he did Mary's body, and he formed Jesus in her, and that's what the Lord does with us. When we ask the Lord Jesus Christ into our body, he comes into our body by the Holy Spirit. God is the Holy Spirit. And then he starts growing as we read his word. And then go ahead.
When Jesus came into the world, everything became new.
Right, because God in the Old Testament had never come into the world as a man until the New Testament, until Emmanuel, God with us, was born. All right, then what?
It was the first time that God had ever come into the world as a man.
Amen. Then what?
So we have four different things that are all new.
At the first, and then there's another four, and then there's more. Okay, so we must receive all the new things of the New Testament. Okay, then what?
And with each of them, the single unchangeable word new is used. In the Greek, for sure, there are three different words used for this English word new. The word new, as related to a new cloth, means that it's untreated or unfinished.
Well, unshrunk. All right, when you buy a new pair of jeans or a shirt, it hasn't been totally treated yet. It has. If you throw it in the washing machine, it's going to shrink. Amen?
Amen.
That's why when you take a new cloth and put it onto an old garment without first treating it, processing it, washing it, shrinking it, it makes the garment worse. Amen?
Amen.
It makes you look like you are some hick or something, you know? Then what?
One way of explaining it in this passage, translated the word new, is unshrunk. It has never been shrunken. It is cloth which has never been dealt with. It has never been processed, or worked, or worked upon.
The reason I'm saying this is because Jesus, in this part of the Bible, was symbolized as cloth. So he had to be dealt with in order to become our clothing, to be clothed upon with him. He had to be shrunken. He had to be cut like a piece of cloth has to be cut in order to become a piece of clothing for us to wear. And he had to be sewn, in other words, pierced. He had to be, and he was pierced while he was on the cross. He had real pierced hands and feet, and he was pierced in the side with a spear. And all these said he had to be worked. He had to be processed. He had to be sewn. He had to be shrunken. He had to be reduced down to nothing. He had to be killed. Dead, so that God could prove that this was God come in the flesh, because God was going to raise him from the dead to prove to us that he now, after the being raised from the dead, after ascending up into the kingdom of heaven, he now became the life-giving spirit. Now he can come down after he's totally processed cloth and totally processed and made into full clothing for us. Now we can be clothed upon by him, and we can have him in us now via the Holy Spirit. There isn't anything easier than breathing. And the Lord, the Spirit, is like the air. Actually, the air is spirit. The same word for air is spirit in the Bible. Pneuma, in the Hellenic Greek, it states is the Spirit. So now when we call upon the Lord, he sends the pneuma, the breath of spiritual air. What could be easier than to accept Jesus by just saying, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, by the pneuma, the Spirit, the air, and let him enter into you and make you a new creature and give you the power of the Holy Spirit in you, so that you don't have to sin anymore, that you have the power to not sin. All right, praise the Lord. Then what?
And here is another meaning of new in relationship to the new cloth, the word new in regards to the new garment.
See, the Lord is the new cloth, and after he's processed, he becomes the new garment. Amen?
Amen.
After he's cut and sewed and nailed and dead and resurrected and ascended up into heaven, now he's the clothing. Amen?
Amen.
That's what these scriptures mean. All right, then what else?
And also the new wineskin.
Yes, he's the new wine and the new wineskin. Because when Jesus ascended, or he rose from the dead, the wine is also symbolic of the Spirit. He was raised from the dead by the new wine, the new Spirit. And he fills us with that new wine himself. And we have to be in the wineskin, which is him, his body. There's only one wineskin. Wineskins, and the day of the Lord Jesus Christ was what you withheld the wine. And we're the wine of the Spirit of the Lord. If we are in his body, the wineskin. All right, let's continue.
So what it means is new in nature.
There's never been anything like this ever happened in the world until around 2,000 years ago. Everything is new now. All right?
Amen.
That's why the Lord said we become new creatures in Christ Jesus, in the wineskin, in the processed cloth that is our clothing, in the new wine, if we're in the wineskin. Then what?
That's what the Lord is new in nature.
Yes, and we become new in nature when we receive all these new things. God, now in human bodies, we become new creatures. We're not old anymore. We're not old creatures any longer. Sons of Adam, we're now sons of God. Because Eve was the bride of Adam, and now those that are the bride of Christ, we come out of Christ. Eve came out of Adam to be his bride, and now we, the bride, eventual bride of Christ, come out of Christ. We come out of the cloth. We have to be clothed with him. He has to be inside of us. We have to be born again of his Spirit, the wine, and we have to be in the wine cloth, in the wine skin, okay? Then we are the bride, eventually, of Christ. He's the bridegroom. We're the children of the bride chamber. We also are the invited guests to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're also the virgins, because we're cleansed from our sins and we don't allow Satan to touch us or have his way with us, and so therefore we're virgins. And we then eventually, well, not yet, but we eventually, when we are taken away into the kingdom of heaven, we become the Lord's bride, and the marriage is consummated there. We actually have been espoused to him, and so that's illegal. We're married to him, but with the consummation of the marriage, when we actually become his bride, happens in the kingdom of God, after the bridegroom comes and takes us away with him. All right, next, please.
That's what the Lord is new in nature, is coming into the world as a man.
Amen. And that's the only way that he could deliver us into the kingdom of heaven and keep us from going to hell, is by becoming an unworked cloth, and then having gone through all the trials and tribulations, the beatings, everything that happened to him. He was cut, he was sown, he had pierced with the crown of thorns on his head, his pierced hands, feet, and the side. He died, he was buried, he went to hell, his spirit, and then he rose. He's totally processed now and has become a garment for us to wear, because he rose from the dead by the Spirit and became the actual Holy Spirit. He became our Comforter, and he said he would send himself, the Comforter, to us to live in us and to teach us all things. Isn't that simple? Amen. Okay, then go ahead.
And he's new in essence because it's the first time that the essence of God came into the world in a man and in nature.
Okay, the chair that I'm sitting in, the essence of it is wood. It's made out of wood. The essence of Jesus is he was a man, and yet his essence was God inside him. Now, this chair also has some fabric on it. So it's not just wood, it's wood and fabric. Jesus was not just a man, he was man and God. God was in him. This vessel that we live in, this human body, is not really the part of us that's going to live on forever. Once we go through the process of following in detail the things that the Lord tells us to do, and we're able to do it by the Holy Spirit, by Christ with his Father, by the Spirit living in us, then we are able to go through the process without becoming nervous wrecks, without being shipwrecked. We're able to do all things. We're more than conquerors and able to do all things when we've been clothed upon with Jesus and he's living inside of us. The whole Godhead is living in us. Just like the world is able to hang in space, by the Word of God, we're able to hang in there until the end with Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit living in us and being clothed upon with the garment, the cloth that has been totally processed, shrunk, cut, pierced, sewn, killed, gone to hell, raised from the dead, conquering death, hell, the grave, sin, Satan, and the world, and all the lusts. We're able to do that with Christ in us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
And the clothing for the garment and the wineskin are all new items also.
Right. Praise the Lord. Everything with God is new. How else could we become new creatures if we didn't have the newness, if we didn't have the knowledge of how to have God's life living in us? It's a new thing. And it's hard for people that are made out of dirt, including our brains, to receive these things. It's you just got to get used to it. If you've never flown an airplane before, you have to have lessons. And how much more important is it for us to read the lessons of the Bible so that we're able to enter into the kingdom of heaven and stay out of hell? Okay, of course, I can't fly a 747. Can't even fly a Piper Cup. Somebody would have to teach me how to do it, and I'd have to rehearse it over and over again because it's my very life, and whoever I'm hauling in the plane is their lives too. Well, the people in this world, their lives are dependent on us as well, and we certainly can't help others unless we are clothed upon with all these new things of Christ. Christ the cloth that's been shrunken and worked until he becomes our garment. And we're clothed upon with him inside and out. Okay, then what?
These are listed in the particular scripture that I'm talking about.
Okay.
And finally, the word new is talking about the new wine, which means new in relationship to a period of time.
Now, the period of time that God came into the world as a man. Amen.
Amen.
And then what? That's why even after these things are written, I have to explain them and break them down, so that all of us can understand it. Amen?
Amen.
I couldn't know them if the Lord hadn't taught them to me. All right, then what?
So this is wine that has just been manufactured.
Right, it had just come into the world. There had never been a wine like that before that could live inside of you and on you and then talk to you. Okay, then what? Lead, guide, and direct you.
Okay. To add all these up together, the new cloth is the kind of cloth that has not been treated or shrunk. It's unfinished. The new garment, or the new clothing, and the new wineskin are absolutely new. So you may wonder why the Lord Jesus, after telling everybody that he is the bridegroom, why did he go on to tell of these four new items?
Right. Immediately after telling he was the bridegroom, and that we're the children of the bride chamber, and that we're the invited guests and the virgins and eventually the bride. Then he goes right into explaining how this process happens. First, he had to be processed. Amen?
Amen.
First, he had to go through all this. And then us, and the Bible later tells us that we're more than conquerors, we're more than able to do all things in Christ Jesus. We can do it, but we have to decide to do it. We have to be willing. It must be our will to do the will of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. We can't just expect God to come down and start processing us without us being willing. Jesus had to be willing to be processed so that he could save all of our souls that want to be saved, that will to be saved. Amen?
Amen.
And go ahead.
These four new items, the new cloth, the new garment, the new wine, and the wineskin.
The new wineskin. It's the one body is the wineskin. All of us have to be in the wineskin in order to be able to make it into heaven, because only the only person in the kingdom of heaven is Christ, the wineskin, the head, and the body. We are that body that he lives in and works in. We are the continuation of his incarnation on this earth. Okay, then what?
If you take a deeper look in order to discern the Lord's meaning, the Lord will tell you that the bridegroom is with us.
Yes, the bridegroom is with us, and we can't fast if we're mourning. I would mourn as the bridegroom was without with me. Amen? But being it is that I'm a child of the bride chamber, he's with me. And how can I mourn when, as he said, when the bridegroom is with me or you? How can you mourn or anyone? All right? Then what?
Why don't you take a look at you and everybody else in this world? Do you and everybody else in this world deserve his presence?
I mean, just the way you are? No. We're old creatures. We need the newness of the Almighty God who lives in human beings to enter us so that we can have the life of God, the eternal, immortal, everlasting life of God living in us and to be clothed upon with us, on us. All right, then what?
Do you or anyone else think that your real condition in the presence of God is worthy of the presence of the bridegroom?
Oh, well, of course not. All right, then what?
Everyone who hears this message must answer no, because everything that we have and everything that we are does not deserve the presence of God. So
no, because we are fallen creatures. We're the sons or daughters of Adam, and we need to be regenerated. We need to be brought back. We need to be given the life of God again. God has to generate himself into us, and we have to be willing to allow him to do that if we want to be born anew, born afresh, born new creatures, born of God, with God's life, his new life living in us, and in us and through us. Okay, then what?
So to enjoy the Lord's presence, we need quite a few things to qualify us to be in his presence.
And you must study to show thyself approved by God. If you don't say, you were at the airport and trying to learn how to fly a 747, and the instructor sees that you're not paying any attention, you're not going to get to fly that dude. Okay? And you're not going to get to fly away and be in the kingdom of heaven if you don't pay strict attention to the instructions of the Lord. The Lord is deeper than anything else that you know. And he takes some studying. The Bible says, seek him diligently. And if you do, you'll find him. You'll find how to have his life living in you and through you. And how that he will do godly things in and through you. Okay, but you must learn of me, he says. You may communicate to me. Talk to me, and I'll talk to you. How do you hear God's voice? Read the Bible. That is him. Okay, then what?
And one is, we need to be a certain condition in a certain situation. The thing that we are by being born into this world like we are naturally, and whatever we can do, and whatever we have, none of these things qualify us to be in the presence of the Lord, the bridegroom. So the first realization that must hit us is that we've got to realize that the bridegroom is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to realize that he is God, God himself. So if the Lord came to you and appeared to you today, could you not have any emotion in that regard? Would you just stand there and stare at him? He is the holy God. He is the righteous God. Such a God is the bridegroom. Do you remember the truthful story in the book of Luke, chapter 15? This tells about the prodigal son who came home to be with his father. The father, without a doubt, loved him deeply, but the son's particular condition at the time that he was to be before the presence of his father was not at all fitting to be in the presence of the father.
No, he'd been laying out with the hogs and the pigs, and he stunk, and he was disheveled looking. He had to be clothed upon with a new robe. Amen?
Amen.
Can you keep going?
And that's the reason that the father immediately told his servant to take the best robe and put it on him. He did this in order to fit him for his presence.
To be able to live before his father. I can't stand it if my son is just sitting there with his shirt torn and his pants and everything and holes in his shoe. I want, look, put some decent clothes on this boy. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, bois. Get dressed up for the occasion. I'm your dad. I don't want to see you this way. Okay, then what?
We have to have on the righteousness of God in order to be in the presence of the Lord. Our bridegroom is no less than the Almighty God himself. How may we, who were poor sinners, enjoy being in the presence of the Heavenly King? We all must remember the context of these verses in Matthew chapter 9. The Lord Jesus was eating with sinners and publicans. We are the former sinners and the publicans. We are not qualified until after we are saved, until we are fitted for it. We need something to cover ourselves with, that we may be able to be in the presence of the Lord. This is why, after the Lord spoke of himself as being the bridegroom, he told us that we need to be clothed in a new garment. When we put on this new piece of clothing, we are then and only then worthy of being in the living God's and the bridegroom's presence.
Right, when we're clothed upon with the Lord and he's in us, then we have the power to go to sinners and teach them the gospel. Otherwise, if we didn't have God in us and upon us, we might be influenced. Some women might be influenced to go back into the whorehouse. Some of the men might be influenced back into being a pimp or to be a thief. But we've got to have God in us before we can go and talk to the prostitutes and not be influenced to go back to go into the whorehouse with them or into pimphood or whatever you call it. Or to go back into drugs or narcotics or into being drunk with anything. Uppers, downers, inners, outers, glue, sniffing glue, and gas, and all the other things that these weaklings, these old creatures do. We're new. We've got the power of God in us, and we're able to do all things in Christ. We can go out into the world and start pulling people out of the world into the kingdom. Okay, go ahead.
When the prodigal son had the robe put on him, he was clothed with the best robe. He could immediately stand in the presence of his father that he now was honoring. The best robe qualified him to be in the father's presence.
Right. My son, or people that I win to the Lord, I don't like them to come before me, even. I mean, just if they look all disheveled, I'd say, are you representing yourself as a Tony Alamo Christian ministry person? Don't go out into the world with these raggedy shirts or dirty pants and shirts and holes in your shoe. I'm going to send you to the store or somebody with you to make sure that you get dressed properly so that you're representing this ministry which represents Christ here on earth. Don't go out there like this. I don't want my boy to wear baggy pants or with a baseball hat backwards like the sinners do out in the world that think they're cool. If that's all it does, it would be cool is to turn your hat backwards. Everybody could be cool if they wanted to, but that isn't cool, All right? That isn't cool to wear baggy pants, or your low pants, or for women to wear tight clothes. That isn't cool. All that shows me is that these people are not yet clothed upon with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they don't have the Father in them, because they don't care how they represent themselves to the world. They're not going to win any souls by dressing that way or being that way. So here's the parable of the Lord saying, yeah, I'm putting the new robe on you, decent clothing. You know, wash them up and then put this nice new robe on. Okay, then what?
So put yourself in the prodigal son's place. After you put the best robe on, you would still be a little bit concerned. You might tell the father, the best robe satisfies you, but does it satisfy me? I'm still hungry. My outward situation now is the same as yours. That's fine for you, Father, but what about me? I'm hungry.
Aren't you going to give me something to eat now? Okay, then what?
I decided to come back to you, not at all for the best robe, that's nice, but for some kind of better food. I've been eating with the hogs. When I was out in that faraway land, I didn't have even at all as much as the husks.
That faraway land, is the meaning of that is far away from the Lord. There's a middle wall of partition between us and God. But when we start coming home to Him, He opens the doors and His arms down to us and says, come on in and now let me fill you with my power and clothe you upon and give you the new wine inside and the food, the Word of God. All right, then what?
I didn't have even at all as much as the husks which the swine fed upon. So I decided to return to your house, not for the robe, but for something to eat. This robe satisfies you and gets me into your presence, Father, but I need also to be satisfied. I'm hungry. I want something immediately, Father. So the father said to the servant, quote, immediately go kill the fatted calf, unquote. And he also told him, quote, let us eat and be merry, unquote.
Yeah, that's communicate with each other. Let me feed you my word, the understanding, the way that the world should be run, the way that you should be run, the way that the true God, it's not religion, but it's salvation, where you're satisfied with the word. Okay, then what else?
The Father's provision is not just for something on our body, but also for something in our body. So hence, after the Lord had spoke of the new garment, He immediately began to speak of new wine as well. The wine is not a provision for the outward need, but for the inward need. It isn't that we only have an outward need, we also have a need inwardly.
You know, we need the power of God inside of us so that we can stand, and we need to have Him communicating to us. The Comforter has to comfort us and also to teach us all things of where we should go, what we should do, when we should go, when we should not go, and what we should be telling people and what we should not be telling people. When we pray that God will give me the words to preach to you and teach you, well, this is what I want to do because I want to please my Father in heaven. I want you to be able to receive the gospel, not to just hear it very quickly and then not be able to know what is being taught to you. I want to teach you, and God wants to teach you through my mouth or through my pen to show you the way, the truth, and the life. It's straight and narrow, and it's very precise. Okay, go ahead.
We really need something to cover us, and we also need something to fill us. Without the Lord, we are extremely poor people outwardly, and we are absolutely empty inwardly. We need the robe upon us for the Father's sake, so we are acceptable before the Father, but we need the new wine within us for our hunger, for our sake. We need not only the new garment, but also the new content. The Lord not only qualifies us, but He also satisfies us as well. He is our qualification.
Right, if we're qualified to come before His presence, if we'll let Him clothe ourselves with Himself, with His robe, the processed cloth that has been cut and sewn, and He's gone through the whole thing, and He's been put together, and He wants us to have His togetherness on us, which if we allow Him to do that, if we desire to do that, if we let Him do that, well then we are the righteousness of God. But if we then begin sinning, we are no righteousness of God whatsoever. To go back to the pig pen after we've known him, okay, then what?
We're qualified to stand before him, and he is also our satisfaction. He is the provision for our outward need, and he is also the full provision for everything that is our inward hunger and thirst. If we were not so much to the Lord, in other words, if the Lord was not so much to us, how could we be the children of the bride chamber, the proper guests at the wedding feast?
Now, we mean a lot to the Lord because he went through this whole process for us. It isn't just, you know, walking up to the cross and being killed. He went through carrying the cross all his life until he got on the cross at the end of his life. He went through a lot of process. He was like a cloth that had to be worked, had to be cut, had to be sewn, had to be nailed, had to be pierced, had to die, had to go into hell, had to raise from death, hell, the grave, had to ascend into the kingdom of heaven, and then become the Holy Spirit and then clothe us. It's a process, and we have to receive that to be saved, all right? So don't listen to these people and say, we don't have to do anything. What do you think, that God went through that whole process so you could still live a sinful life? Come on now, you can't be that stupid. Okay, then what?
How could we be the virgins going forth to meet the bridegroom and the bride herself? In order to enjoy Christ in these four ways, we need something outwardly. So we need to enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ in four ways. We need something new outwardly to qualify us, which is the new clothing, and something new that's inwardly to satisfy us.
And isn't Christ the cloth and the clothing that's been processed?
Yes.
So we need that new clothing. Amen?
Amen.
We need to be clothed upon this Christ. Then what?
And something new that's inwardly to satisfy us, because before no one had the Lord living in them. And now the Lord Jesus is not only the bridegroom, which is new to us, but also the new garment to qualify us, and the new wine to satisfy us. All these things are new. They came into the world with Jesus. We do not have anything to cover us, and we don't have anything to satisfy us, but we are able to thank and praise the Lord and shout hallelujah. But don't get it into your head.
Yes, because he has clothed us and he has satisfied us. That's why we're able to praise and thank the Lord and say hallelujah. In other words, hallelujah means praise God. Amen? Then what? He did all this for us. Okay, then what?
But don't get it into your head that this is all, because there's another new thing, and that's the new wine. If we have the new wine in us, it requires a new wineskin to put the wine in. What good would it be to have new wine if there is not a proper vessel to contain it, to put it in, to preserve it?
So we have to be in Christ. He is the wineskin. Amen?
Amen.
So we're wine, but we have to be in something, in a container. And that container is Christ. He lives in us, and we live in him. Then what?
In olden days, the wineskin was used as a vessel to hold the wine. Therefore, the new wineskin is something that holds Christ as the new wine. What in the world does that mean? What it means is that this is the proper church life. The Lord Jesus Christ is not only our new garment and the new wine, but being increased, he is also our new holding tank or wineskin to hold the wine. That is, those of us that are filled with his Spirit. He is our outward qualification, and he also is our inward satisfaction, and he is, in a very corporate way, the actual church of God, the body of Christ.
The wineskin. Okay, then what?
1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, shows us how he is capable of holding the wine. He is everything. Jesus is the bridegroom. Jesus is the new garment. Jesus is the new wine. And Jesus also is the corporate vessel to hold what we enjoy of him. The Lord Jesus Christ, enlarged, is the new wineskin. The meaning here is very profound. Now, I've mentioned three of the four items, but I have not indicated much about the new cloth. You may ask, what does that mean? The Lord Jesus, we know, was God and still is God. One fine day he became incarnated as a man on this earth. From his incarnation to his crucifixion, there were 33 and a half years in which he passed through every bit of the human life, human living.
In other words, he was being processed. Okay, then what?
He was at that time the new cloth. He had not yet been treated. He hadn't been made into a garment yet. He had not been dealt with. Neither had he been cut or sewn by man or God.
All right, I see that our time is up. How I wish we had 2 hours to explain this. But it would take far more than 2 hours. It's going to be interesting all the way. This was tape number 110. If it went a little fast for you to understand, order it. And you listen to it over and over again until it gets embedded in your mind and into your soul, inwardly and outwardly. And now, in order to have this, to be in the bride chamber, to be the invited guest, to be become the virgin, a virgin, and eventually the bride of Christ, say these words to the Lord right now. Let's get started before you go out to meet God. All right, the bride groom, when we're virgins, we wait for our bridegroom, like the 10 virgins, 5 are foolish, 5 are of the Lord. Say this prayer so that the Lord can live inward and can clothe you with his righteousness. Say it now to him with all your heart. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because you say so in your word. Your word says all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. All right, and just praise and thank the Lord now. Now, in order to receive a copy of this tape, our website is
alamoministries.com.
Or else you can write us at
Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505.
Or you can call us at
area code 479-782-7370.
All right, now, don't fail to tune in tomorrow for more instructions on God's life living in you and upon you so that you can be sure to be in the kingdom of heaven. Until tomorrow, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you real good and praise the Lord. Amen.